Mark chapter 10, we'll begin reading this morning in verse 46. So, Father, we look now into your word and we ask for the wisdom to understand your word, knowing that your word is spiritually discerned. So I ask that your spirit would teach us, speak to us. Lord, as those who belong to you, may we be the most grateful people on this planet. And I ask that our lives would show that gratefulness. In Jesus' name, amen. You're going to meet a man by the name of Bartimaeus in our text this morning. And Bartimaeus is going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ that will change his life forever. And it's one of the greatest examples of a conversion that you have in all of Scripture. It's a textbook conversion. It's what I'm calling this morning conversion full bloom. And I believe that that's how every conversion should look. And I believe that as Christians, we should never forget what conversion looks like in our own lives. Let's read the story. Look at beginning in verse 46. It says, "Now they," that's Jesus and his disciples, "came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Bartimaeus clearly was a man in desperate need. He's blind. He's living in a world of darkness. There isn't a doctor around that can help him. And because of his blindness, he is destitute. He lives in poverty. He's not able to work. There are no social programs. There are no welfare programs. So he must beg just to eat. It says in verse 46 that he sat by the road begging. The tense of that Greek language is that was his customary practice. This is what he did every day. Every morning he got up, he grabbed his garment, he found a place on that busy road going through Jericho. He sat down, he laid his garment out, and he begged, and he hoped that people would put alms on his little garment there. At the end of the day, he'd collect whatever was given, go buy a few scraps of bread, head back home, go to sleep, and the next morning it would all begin all over again. That was this man's life. And it would appear that he was abandoned by family, abandoned by relatives, by friends. It would appear that he was also abandoned by the citizens of Jericho, which is a sad commentary, by the way, because the city of Jericho was the most wealthiest city in the region. Jericho was a resort town in those days. There was the old city of Jericho, the one we remember from the Old Testament. You know, the walls fell down, right? And about a mile away from that old city, Herod the Great built a new city of Jericho with a palace for himself. And that's where he would spend the winter. So think of a resort town, palaces, wealthy people live there, vacation homes, luxuries. Very, very affluent community. I even studied this week and learned that Jericho is actually a word that means pleasant smells, pleasant fragrances. Historians tell us that Jericho was filled with rose gardens, the smell of roses, and that one of the famous products that came out of Jericho was honey. So all the flowers and the smells and the beauty and the wealth. But none of that helped blind man Bartimaeus. And the wealthy citizens of Jericho weren't there to help Bartimaeus. To them, he was a public nuisance. I also learned this week that there were literally thousands of priests and Levites from the Jewish people that lived in the city of Jericho. Now, priests and Levites, their job was to take care of the temple in Jerusalem, located 15 miles away. And there was a lot of work, and only priests and Levites could do that. They would take care of the temple, take care of the ritual, take care of the sacrifices and all of that. But there were a lot more priests and Levites than there was work. And so they would work in shifts. And one historian says that there were 20,000 priests and Levites that lived in Jericho. That's where they would hang out when they were off shift. So filled with religious people. But the priests and the Levites didn't help guys like Bartimaeus. They just left him. And by the way, that seems to be kind of characteristic of that group of people. You remember when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan? And how there's a guy walking the road from Jerusalem to Jericho? Gets attacked by robbers, beaten, left for dead. The first guy that's walking from Jerusalem to Jericho is a priest. Walks right by. The next guy is what? A Levite. Walks right by. It seems that those guys thought that they were only doing religious stuff when they were at the temple. When it was off temple time, it was resort time, and they didn't have to help anybody. And so here Bartimaeus is, completely desperate, completely helpless, in Jericho. And just like any other day, there he is on the road begging. But this day will prove to be the most spectacular day in his life because Jesus is passing by. Jesus is on that road going through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. And unbeknownst to anybody else, that's where he's going to face the cross. There's high traffic on this road. It's Passover season. The Jewish pilgrims are on the road. And when Jesus comes to town, there's an uproar. People have heard of Jesus. That's the guy who does miracles. That's the guy who might be the Jewish Messiah. That's the guy who is in trouble with the religious leaders in Jerusalem. And so everyone in the city lines the streets. Everyone's trying to get a look at Jesus. And just try to picture that in your mind, all that activity. And I remembered this week that Jesus in the Bible is oftentimes referred to as the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valleys. Think of that, the Rose of Sharon passing through the city of roses. And more activity and commotion than you'd see at the Rose Bowl parade. Everyone there, so much noise. Bartimaeus hears it. Hey, what's going on? Somebody says, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And what does Bartimaeus do? He does the only thing that he is able to do. He begins shouting at the top of his lungs, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now that man may have been physically blind, but he had a set of lungs on him. It appears that he shouted so loudly that he was bugging people all around him. People said, hey, be quiet, man. You're making a scene. But he didn't stop. And the more people told him to be quiet, the louder he shouted. And I think verse 49 is such a beautiful verse. It says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus stood still. It's like the parade stopped. There's a hush over the crowd. Jesus is a very busy man. He has a lot on his mind. He's 15 miles away from Jerusalem. Well, he'll become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. But the cry of a desperate man will always stop Jesus Christ in his tracks. And Jesus stood still and he called for Bartimaeus. And somebody comes to Bartimaeus and says, hey, he's calling for you. Bartimaeus gets up, kicks that garment aside. And maybe there were already alms on it. Can you hear the coins jingling down the street? Kicks it. He doesn't want to trip. He runs to Jesus. He gets to Jesus. He stands before Jesus. And Jesus in verse 51 says, what do you want me to do for you? Now that almost seems kind of absurd, doesn't it? The obvious thing is this man's blind. He wants to be able to see. But listen, Jesus wants this man to humbly voice his request. To bring that faith. And of course, Bartimaeus is willing to do that. At the end of verse 51, he says, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Very humbly. Notice the faith of this man. This man knew that Jesus could help him. This man had heard about Jesus. This man had heard that Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus is coming by and he begins shouting, and nobody's going to keep him from shouting. It was persistent faith. And then when he's called, he immediately gets up and he kicks aside the garment. Nothing's going to get in his way. He's coming to Jesus, and he comes to Jesus with a very simple, humble, voiced request. I want to see. I want to see. I believe you can give me sight. And I want you also to notice that though that man may have been physically blind, his spiritual eyesight was much greater than anyone else. Amen. He shouted, Jesus, Son of David. Son of David is a messianic term. If you called somebody the Son of David, you were calling them the Jewish Messiah. People in the crowd may have suspected Jesus was the Messiah, but they didn't totally believe it. This man did. He's screaming, Jesus, you're the Jewish Messiah. Have mercy on me. And this man was probably familiar with the prophecies of the Old Testament that said that the Messiah, when he would come, would restore sight to the blind. You're the Jewish Messiah. Have mercy on me. And then I love what he recalls Jesus in verse 51. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Teacher. Usually rabbi. That's usually how you see it in the scripture. This term is Rabboni, which has a more personal, intimate nature. He's essentially saying, my teacher. My master. My Lord, my Rabbi, give me sight. Incredible display. Verse 52, Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Instantaneous. One moment he can't see anything, living in darkness. The very next instant, he's looking in the face of the one who healed him. Eyesight completely restored. And please don't miss this. He experienced a lot more that day than just getting his sight back. It says, go your way, Jesus says to him in verse 52, your faith has made you well. The Greek language there is sozo, which is salvation. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has delivered you. Not only did that man get his physical eyesight back, it was on that day that he became born again. He got saved. He became a brand new creation. At the command of Jesus Christ, that whole man's life was changed. And then please, don't miss this. Notice how this man responded. Jesus had said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Did this man go his way? What does it say at the end of verse 52? Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. That is a phrase of discipleship. The idea is that man began to follow Jesus on the road of life. That man became a disciple of Jesus. That man began to follow Jesus all the way to Jerusalem, where no doubt he, along with everyone else, would be utterly freaked out by what happens to Jesus in Jerusalem. But the idea is that he would follow Jesus the rest of his life, and it would all become plain and clear. Luke's gospel finishes the story this way, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Check it out. This is conversion full bloom. Here's a desperate man who meets Jesus Christ. His life is utterly, completely changed. And for the rest of his life, he will follow Christ, glorify God, and everybody around him will praise God because of what God has done in that man's life. That is a life that has been completely transformed. You know, Matthew and Luke also speak of this event, but they refer to this man just as the blind man. It's only here in Mark that we get his name, Bartimaeus. And it's believed that because when Mark wrote the gospel, Bartimaeus had become a primary member of the early church. And then Mark was essentially saying, here's the testimony of Bartimaeus. There was a time in his life when he was a blind, homeless man living on the streets. Jesus came along and touched him. He was gloriously born again, and he became a follower and a servant of Christ, prominent in the church, one who would glorify God. That's conversion. This whole story is illustrative of what conversion should look like. You know, the Bible teaches that people apart from Christ are blind. Amen. People apart from Christ, they have no spiritual sight. People apart from Christ are destitute, bankrupt spiritually, in bondage. And one of the first steps that a person needs to take in order to get saved is to be able to admit that they are blind, that they are sinners, and that they need to open their lives to Jesus Christ. And a person apart from Christ is helpless and hopeless to save himself. And there aren't any wealthy citizens that can help that person either. And there aren't any other religious people that can help that person either. The only person that can help a person like that is Jesus. And that's the first step, recognizing that you need Jesus. And then the second step would be to have a living, personal encounter with Christ, where you would recognize who Jesus is. Son of David, Jewish Messiah, Savior sent to die on the cross for the sins of the world, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again that third day. You admit that you're a sinner. You admit that you're blind. And then you come to Jesus and you ask him, Lord, have mercy on me. Give me sight. Give me sight.
And you do that one-on-one. And if you do that, the Bible says He will give you sight. He will wash away all of your sins. He will make you a child in the family of God. He will gloriously save your life. And then what happens next? Your life is transformed. And you live the rest of your life glorifying Him. Following Him on the road. Serving Him. If you're here this morning and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. You can invite Him right now to be your Savior, and He will change your life. You know, Jesus is still passing by people's lives. He's still passing by. He's passing by right here at this service. He'll pass by your life in a book that you'll read, or something that you might hear on the radio, or through the witness of one of His people. He'll pass by, and He'll keep going unless you say, "Jesus, wait! Have mercy on me." And if your cry is honest and real and genuine, you will stop Him in His tracks. And He will turn to you. And no matter how much you may have messed up your life, He'll take you. He'll forgive you. He'll change your life. Conversions like this have happened for 2,000 years. Conversions like this are happening today. Has it ever happened in your life? And then, my brother and sister in Christ, I'd like to challenge you, those of you who maybe have had a conversion experience. Has it fully bloomed in your life? I want to remind us all this morning, as Christians, there's a pattern. What we see happening in the life of Bartimaeus should happen in all of our lives as Christians. Desperate man, encounter with Jesus, gloriously born again, spends the rest of his life following Christ and glorifying God. That's the pattern. Listen to what the Lord says in Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. The Lord speaking, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and then you shall glorify me." Do you see it? We're in trouble. We call out on God for salvation. He delivers us. We get it. We get saved, and then we glorify Him. That's the pattern. Way back to the beginning with God's dealings with Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Remember this promise that God made to Abraham. "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abraham, I want to do an amazing thing in your life. I want to bless you. Come on out, follow me. Follow me by faith. I'll bless you, and I'll turn you into a blessing to others. That's the pattern. Repeat it over and over and over again. Has that happened in your life? Would you be a Christian who says, "Yeah, you know, I had a conversion. I walked an aisle. I went to a tent revival. I said a prayer. I got saved." And then nothing about your life ever changed? Is that even possible? Can that conversion be real? I submit to you that you cannot meet the living Lord Jesus Christ and stay the same. Amen. Are you walking the road following Christ? Are you glorifying Him? You know, people who are genuinely saved appreciate it. Amen. And live it. Is your Christian faith just a fire insurance policy? Or is your Christian faith a life? Do you glorify God? Do people look at your life and see what God's done in your life and praise God? Look what He's done over you. That's what it should be. You know, some of us have been Christians for years. I know some of you have been Christians for years and years and years and years. And you know what? The longer you're a Christian, the easier it can be to lose the awe and excitement and wonder of conversion. Have you lost that awe and wonder? Get it back. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, "Return to me. You've left your first love." You know, we may go through some difficult things in this life, even as Christians, but there is nothing more awesome than knowing that we are saved. Amen? And it may be that you need to look back to those very first days when you first met Jesus. And remember those days when you were blind, desperate, begging, looking for answers and truth. And you remember the day that you said, "Jesus, save me." And you remember the day that He gloriously invaded your life and made you born again. Don't ever forget it. And get out there. Follow Him on the road. Glorify Him. Point the way to others. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we pray that we would never, ever lose sight of the miracle of salvation. Again, I pray like David prayed that You would restore to us the joy of Your salvation. I pray for Christians here this morning who maybe have gotten a little cold. Reignite their faith right here, right now, this morning. Lord, reignite all of our faith right now, here this morning. And then, Father, I would like to pray for anyone here this morning who's never opened their lives to receive You. I want You to have an opportunity this morning to do that. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose again the third day. He's alive. He's here. He's passing by. Invite Him into your life. Ask Him to be your Savior. Admit that you need Him. You do that with a prayer. You simply pray, "Lord Jesus, stop. Here I am. I believe You're the Savior. I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven. Come into my life. Take over my life. Be my Lord and Savior. And help me to follow you all the days of my life. Let's all stand.